you have your Bibles, go to Galatians 6. Can I tell y'all a funny story? Can y'all handle a funny story? It might not be funny to y'all, but it's funny to me. Today I was at Erlanger, and if y'all know anything about Erlanger, how you park, you got the long park, you got the long parking lot, or, you know, in the parking garage, and then you got the short end, and you got the long parking lot. So anyway, I got a parking spot on the very end, on the short end, you know, which, I mean, was not, it's a longer walk, but it beats parking out in no man's land. So anyway, I got in that little spot, and then I walked around the corner, and I walked down to the mall and walked in. Went up and done my visit, whatever we have to do, and then I came back out. When I came back out, I cut the corner, and there was a man leaning on my car. And when I seen him, he goes, and automatically my blood pressure goes to like 1,000. And the first words I want to say, what are you doing? You know? And then I start thinking, I'm a pastor. So I'm about to whoop this dude in the parking lot and keep it a secret. No, I'm just kidding. But I take a couple more steps and I'm like, getting angrier, right? I'm like, this dude's looking in my car. And the words are formulating in my mouth. And if my wife can tell you, it don't take long to get here to here. And I was like, and all of a sudden I look, I mean, white Toyota leaning on the back of it, and he's just looking in there, and he's got, I mean, he looks suspicious. I looked over and my eye caught another car. My car. And I went, thank God. I got in there and unlocked my car, and I said, I laughed for like 2 minutes. And I was just telling Peyton, we rode up to Nashville on Monday, and I told Peyton this. I said, we are driving the most popular car on the face of the planet. A white Toyota Camry is like trying to find a needle in a needle stack, you know? And then, never mind, I thought it was funny. All right, as we're going to Galatians 6, 1, I was listening to something. I just caught the very end of this. And I don't know if it'll tie into our message, but I want to share something else with you that hit me like a ton of bricks. I think I say this a lot, but I don't know if I ever put it in the correct words. But I got a spiritual nugget today off of Moody Broadcast. I recorded it on a note. When I'm driving, everything goes through my phone so I can speak it. So I'm like, Siri, make a note. And usually when I'm talking, apparently she can't understand Southern English. So it's like you got to get a translator to figure out what I said. So if I ever send you a text with a bunch of crazy stuff, it's because I probably spoke the text anyway. So I end up speaking the text. I'm like, and this is what it was. I caught this. God does not want very random, sporadic, overwhelming acts of emotion towards Him, or love towards Him, or shouts towards Him, and praises towards Him, and then that be it. What He wants more than that periodic, that real sharp, that real big moment is a sold out life for Christ. Man, I was like, man, it took me, I rode all the way across Chattanooga going, that's what God wants. Hey, does it, if y'all don't mind if I preach a little bit on this before I get here. Check this out. I started thinking about it, and I was thinking about relationships. What relationship would you like that the person never paid attention to you, never talked to you, never thought about you, never spoke to you, never sang to you, never complimented you, but every once in a while would drop in and say, wow, you're smoking hot. Here's a cake. See ya. Just once a month, two times a month, three times a month, just walk in and say, you're gorgeous. Walk out. You're a hard worker. It would be good. No, come on, man. The first few times you'd be like, that's cool. I feel smoking hot. Come on. You can't say smoking hot in church. I'm sorry. I am a good worker. That's great. But after a while, you'd say, I would like it if you would come by and talk and share some time, maybe take out the trash. make a bed, huh? Just listen to me, how my day was. Have a relationship with me. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we can look at somebody and they have this big spike moment. What'd you do? Well, this Sunday we shouted and we praised and we ran and we done all this stuff. And what'd you do on Monday? Live like the world. What'd you do on Tuesday? Live like the world. God doesn't want that. He wants a sold out life. And sometimes a sold out life can look boring. It can look like, well, you're spiritually dead. No, I'm in a really consistent, steady walk with Jesus. And sometimes I get excited and tore out of the frame. Amen? But aren't those moments even better? God, am I preaching? I hope I ain't just wearing y'all out with this, but it hit me hard. But you know, like when you're in a relationship, you know, me and my wife's been married for a long time, and you know, we've been married, we're going through the natural grind of a relationship and marriage and the good stuff and the bad stuff and all, you know, pick this up, set that up, drop the kids off, pick that up, get the groceries, hey, have a date night, that's good. What every once in a while when you're, somebody, you know, you go over and you're really beautiful. You're something. That means a lot more than somebody who doesn't do all the other stuff. All right, y'all don't believe me, but that y'all like that part better than the message, probably, once it sinks in. Y'all ready? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I wrote this message in 5 minutes on Monday. It's a 10-point message. Scared y'all to death. A 10-point message. I wrote this in 5 minutes on Monday, and the reason I sat down and I just started writing, and God, I was like, God, man, this is a whole lot real quick, and I need to study more about it and everything, but I didn't know for the next 24 to 48 hours I was going to be running like crazy. So I got to meditate on the message, but I wrote it all in about 5 minutes. How do we help somebody who's a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ when they fall? What do we do? The title of this message is Stay Low. If you make notes or take notes, the title of this is to Stay Low. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I mean, y'all get that? Did everybody read that with me? Understand it? I hate to do this to you, but this is who I am. This is who your pastor is. I am sports-oriented. Now, if you're not sports-oriented, I can give you a military version. Amen? But what I cannot do is I cannot give you a mechanical version because I don't know anything about mechanics. Everybody, okay, y'all have to get the sports version. Okay, I see this for the first time. I've seen this like a football field. Okay? And imagine on a football field, the game's going on. It's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You pick your genre. I don't care. God don't either. And God really doesn't care about who wins football games either. Sorry. He cares about the people playing the game. Amen? So we're watching the game. And you're watching on Friday. You're watching on Saturday. You're watching on Sunday. Don't matter who it is. And the game's playing and it's playing and it's playing. And the ball's being passed. It's being ran. Touchdowns being scored. Everything. And all of a sudden, an accident happens and somebody is laying on the field. It's not a matter if it's going to happen. It's a when it's going to happen. And I started thinking, and God gave me this. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, when somebody on the battlefield of life, when somebody on the sports field of life, when somebody falls, when somebody stumbles, when somebody makes a mess, what are you going to do? And I started thinking about what a football team, all the players, now the fans are one thing. The fans, they've got alliances. Somebody might have brought them to the game. It really doesn't matter. But the people who are playing the game, usually, all of them take a knee. All of them take a knee. Or they're concerned. They get quiet and they turn in and they look and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And while that's taking place, somebody runs on the field. It's somebody usually on the same team of the person who fell. Now, if they fall close enough to the other sideline, somebody on that team, I wish this would happen more often. Somebody from another church got involved. We don't do that. We're all segregated usually. But usually if somebody falls, somebody from that team, somebody who's qualified, somebody who's trained, somebody who's ready, runs out on the field, and guess what they do? They get low. They get low, man. They run out on the field, and they get low. They get down. They're healthy as a horse. They are fine. They are physically okay. There's nothing going on in their life. But guess what? For that moment, they do not stay. They don't go out there and go, hey, man. They don't go, hey, what? They get all the way down on the ground. They get down beside them. They start taking off their helmet, and they get in their ear, and they say, tell me where you're hurting. God, no, y'all can't even help me. Do y'all understand? They get, I mean, they're getting down in the dirt. So, your first objective when somebody falls is not to stand over them, not to look down on them, not to say, I wonder what, it's your first thing, if you're qualified. If you're not qualified, just pray. Just talk to God. Just lift up in prayer. Just say, oh my gosh, Lord, help them. But listen, if you're going to be in this Christian game, if you're going to play this Christian game, then guess what? When you run up on somebody who falls, what you do is you get low with them. Where does that? Can I keep preaching right here? Listen, you know what that person's usually covered in? Blood or sweat? And tears, and they stink because they've been playing a game that you ain't been playing. And you got to forget all that. And a few minutes before the game, that guy could have been full of pride and arrogance and could have been saying all kinds of dumb and dismissed you totally. She could have dismissed you totally. I'm really preaching right here. Somebody in here can dismiss you totally. And yet when they fall, if you're qualified, that means if you've been forgiven and you love people more, you love Christ and you love people more than you love yourself, you forget all about that because all you see is somebody laying on the field and all you want to do is help them get off the field. So you get low. You get as low as you can and you ask them, where does it hurt? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I am here to help you. My ultimate goal is to help you get up off the ground. Tell me where it hurts. Amen? Then you pray. Then you pray. People are either praying or they're praying, but then you start talking to God. You start talking to God. Don't talk to people yet. You're talking to God. Amen? So you can either pray on your way out there. I do that a lot. Pray on your way to the situation. Pray when you arrive at the situation, get low, talk to them, and then when you feel like you're overwhelmed and you can't handle the situation, you pray again. God, you better start doing some stuff. You better start fixing some stuff. I'm going to do what I know. I'm going to do everything like it depends on me. No, it depends on you. Can you see it yet? You see it? It happens a lot. You watch a football game, happens all the time. Get low and stay low. And if they ever say, God, I love this part. If they ever get out there, what they do, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get them up. If we're right, if we're spiritually trying to get somebody back to where they're supposed to be, you're trying to get them up. People who spiritually fall are the same as physically falling. A lot of times, they'll just want to stay down. I don't know if I can get up. I don't know if I can really stand. I don't feel comfortable because I hurt so bad. If I wasn't hurt bad, I wouldn't be laying here. I'd be with everybody else. But now I've been exposed and I'm hurt. Your whole goal is to say, listen, you can get up. You can get up and I'm going to help you get up. I'm going to help you get up. I wrote down this and the next thing, you're going to lift with your legs, your back, your arms, and everything in you. You're going to lift them. You're going to stay low. And the light, you ain't going to say nothing. You're going to listen the whole time. Golly. As you're getting up off the ground, I'll read it. Y'all don't believe me, but this is what the Scripture says. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. They might have to put all their weight on you. You might have to do all the lifting to get them from the ground to them standing. You might have to do it all. You might have to say, but what you want to do is you want to get to them place where they can stand. Christians need help to stand again. The devil's telling them, stay where you're at. Don't. You done messed up now. You'll never get any better. You done failed everybody. Don't move a muscle. Don't try to go back to the team. Don't try to go back to the sideline. Don't back to the coaches. Don't go back to the church. Don't go back to the Sunday school. Don't go back to the choir. Don't go back to the pastor. There are all the churches against you. You let them down. Your job is not that. Your job is to get up. We're here to get you up. Lifting with your legs. I put that in there. Every time you lift something, they say, lift with your legs in your back. Amen? What I'm telling you is make sure you're doing it correctly. Make sure you're lifting them correctly. I was reading in the Scriptures today. There was a man who laid in his bed for 38 years and Jesus healed him. I was crazy, man. He lived by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Jesus came by and said, hey, you be whole? Will you want to be whole? Yeah. He goes, but I don't have no man. Well, you don't have to have a man. You got Jesus. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He took up his bed and walked, and he hadn't been 5 feet. Some religious guys met him. You're not supposed to be carrying that on the Sabbath. They were right. He wasn't. But they were wrong. He just learned how to get up. He just learned how to stand. You don't know all the rules. Faith ain't all about rules. Amen? It ain't all about rules. It can't be all about rules. If it is, we all fail. Yeah, I'm not supposed to be carrying this on the Sabbath, but if you'd have met me 30 seconds ago, 2 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, 2 days ago, I couldn't pick up anything. And I'm not really going on my own deal. I really didn't know that I could pick stuff up. The only reason I knew to pick it up is the guy that told me to get up, told me to get to bed. And nobody else dealt with me, but the guy that made me be able to stand told me to take the bed. So I listened to him. I'm sorry that I'm not following the rules. I was thinking about that as I was going along. Sometimes we're more worried about the rules and we're more worried about how we do stuff and how it looks than we are about people. Why are we worried about the rules? And we're not worried about broken people. Why are we worried about how they're carrying their bed or why they're carrying their bed? Well, wouldn't it be good? Hey, I can't believe you're standing here. I can't believe you're actually here at church. Thank God. You could be at the bar. You could be at the club. You could be out somewhere else. But oh my God, you're here. Thank God for that. I can't believe you're standing here. You're not standing here right. Can I tell you the secret? We're probably all not standing here perfectly right all the time. Lift with your leg, back. And then your words. Then your words. Then your words will help. Then your words. Words of encouragement. Amen? You can do this. You can get better. Hey, we want you here. We need you here. You're important to us. Yeah, you made a mistake and that has consequences. And oh yeah, but guess what? We want you here. Oh, never mind. Y'all want another one? What's this? Bear their weight until they can. Bear their weight until they can. Have you ever watched them? Have you ever watched them? No, this is my favorite part. The little coaches come out. The little examiner, the little doctor guy. 350-pound, 6'6" lineman. And a little bit, he puts his arm around it. Then all of a sudden he gets smart and he's like, get one of the other behemoths. Hey, you. Get on the other side. And then somebody finally has mercy and one of the, you get out of the way, medical guy. But the medical guy was willing to let this behemoth lean all over him. I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever tried to carry somebody off the field? It looks cool, first two steps. Then it gets weird. It does. It gets all weird. You got to, you're like, because that person's really hurt, and they're like, I can't do anything. And it gets weird. It gets so weird because you got to carry legs and arms, and you're saying stuff like, man, I got you. And you're like, yeah, I don't know if I got him. And the guy's like, I can't do nothing. I'm hurt. It reminds me of when Jesus, when the man came down to Jericho and he was caught by the thieves and was left half dead, naked and half dead. See, we don't pay much attention to those scriptures until you roll up on somebody who's naked and half dead. You got to dress him. Oh, man. I won't do that. It's weird. But if I don't, they're not going to live. If I don't nurse the wounds and put clothes on them and then put him in a place of comfort, myself in a place of discomfort, then he's probably going to die out here. Spiritually, we got to shut our mouths, clean some wounds, put ourselves in some awkward positions, put some people in a place of comfort who might not deserve it, and just walk with them. Oh my God. Just walk. Man, people really don't need you to do everything and have all the answers and do it. Sometimes they just need you to walk with them and just walk with them and say, I'm here with you because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be all right. I don't know, but I'm here and I'm bearing your weight. Because they get you over the side and they do some examination. And that's when it kind of gets harder because you got to touch the places that hurt and bend the things, and they say, that hurt. Well, you know what happened is this and that and the other, right? But I thought of another thing when I thought about that. You know, at no point do you get to make the decision of what happens with the player. That's up to the coaches and the officials. That's the official's job. That's the coach's job. He figures out what the diagnosis is. This is what we're going to do with the player. Your job is to get them up, to get them walking, to get them to the sideline, to get them to the coaches. Who makes the decision? Who's the coach? That's up to God. He's the coach, but he's also the operator. He's the one who's going to fix the person. Woo, glory. Don't worry. If you get them up and you walk with them and you get them in the presence of the people who are qualified and they do the examination and they figure out what the punishments are and what the punishments are not, and then they put them in the operating table and God will fix them, and you know what you're doing the whole time? You're cheering. Thank God they're in the right place. You know what you might have to do? You might have to drive them to some appointments. You might have to take them to rehab. Amen? You might have to take them to some point. You might have to, I thought they'd be well by now. I thought this was going to be a quick fix, God. I thought you were a miracle working God. I am a miracle working God. But through this, I'm going to heal them for the long ride. It's easy to show up when it's a tragedy. It's easy to show up when everything's going wrong. It's Tuesday and it's going to take away from your personal time. Now you're going to have to ride in the car with them and be with awkward silence. Everything still ain't all right. I'm still kind of depressed. I'm still scared. I'm still nervous. It's going to be all right. We're still here. That's why I'm still with you. That's why I'm still riding with you. Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm going with you. Amen? You know, a lot of times people don't stay in church when they fall in faith is because nobody will stand with them past the point. We're good. We show up great at funerals. We show up great when it first happens. But 2 months out, where are we? Man, we feed and send flowers and do everything, and 3 months later, we don't even send a text. How are you today? I've been praying for you today. Because I hate to tell you, when the shock wears off and all the stuff wears off, there'll be a day when you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you'll be reminded that your husband's not there, your wife's not there, your mother's not there, your father's not there, your son's not there, and all of a sudden you'll need somebody to say, hey, I was just driving through and thought I'd come by and say hello and I love you. Just wanted to stay here with you. Listen, I'm finding out more and more. It's not you have to go. It's not the appointments that you better get over there and see. It's the ones that God places on your heart. More times it's God nudges me sometimes, and if I don't go, it's not like 24 hours later, all of a sudden I'll get a call. Hey, how are you doing? I'm like, oh man, God. Wasted that opportunity, didn't we? Are y'all hearing me? Are you hearing me? So then what do? We really get this day. I love this day right here. This is my favorite one. Is when they come back on the field. Amen? And they will. Some of them will. They'll come back on the field. What do you mean? They'll get back in the game. They'll score touchdowns. They'll run the ball. They'll do their old thing and then some. And then you'll be like, man, we got them back. We got her back. They're back. They're in here. Hey, God, never mind. I wish I could. Sometimes the ones who fail and mess up, they are some of the best ones. I'm serious. I've got some brothers and sisters in Christ right now who are total. I mean, they ruined their whole lives. There ain't nobody I'd rather go into battle with, man. Because they're not scared of nothing. Amen? I'll go. I don't care. That's where I used to live. You're like, okay. Amen? It's good. It's a good thing when you see them start getting their life back. When they start showing up on Wednesday night and on Sunday night, and then all of a sudden they get married, and then they have kids, and then all of a sudden they're the leader of their house, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, man, I can remember a day. I can remember a day. Amen? I can remember a day. You say, why would we do all that? Sounds like a lot of work. Why in the world, as Christians, why in the world would we want to do that? Listen to this last part. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if man thinks of himself, it says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Y'all see that? That's why you get low. That meekness means low, okay? Humbleness, meekness. Considering who? Yourself. Lest thou also be... I know this is crazy talk. I know it is. I know it's crazy talk. That's why I do this, because it's just far-fetched. Because one day, you could be the one laying flat on your back. Spiritual mess. And how you restore other people would be kind of how they're going to restore you. Whew. Amen? Did you get low or did you stay high? Did you pray to God or did you tell everybody else? Amen? Did you lift them up or did you leave them lying? They say this about Christians. We're the only army that shoots its own wounded. I've heard that my whole life. I've heard that my whole life in church. Not here. Not here. We got a different motto here. Where everybody leaves. Everybody's going. Everybody. Hey, we leave no man behind. That's what our motto should be. We're carrying them out, dragging them out. We're going to be like the Marine Corps. We ain't leaving nobody behind. We'll pick them up. Hey, we don't care. We'll pick them up. If we see them in jail, we'll see them in jail. If we had to go to the courthouse, we'll go to the courthouse. If we had to go to rehab, we'll go to rehab. If we got to go to the hospital, we'll go to the hospital. And if the worst case scenario, we'll go down to the funeral home. We'll sit down there too. We ain't going to leave nobody behind. Because you know why? It'll be us. That'll be you. That'll be you. You and you. Everybody in this room, we've got a propensity. We've got a flesh nature. If we can fall. Man, I hope people would treat me the way I've treated them. Amen? I hope nobody comes by like them. They look at them. Man, you really fell bad. Amen? Levitical priest came and looked at the first. That was the first one when he was on his way down from Jericho. He looked at him and said, man. Levitical priest looked at him and says, whew, you're in bad shape. Walked off. Levitical priest at Levi, that sent the law. I mean, you know, the law is like, the law says, man, does this to everybody. You're not good enough. It's a mirror. You look into it and it looks into you and it says, you're not good enough. Walks over. The priest, it does even better. It seen him and passed by on the other side. It represents religion. Religion said this. One, the law, you didn't keep it. And two, you can't do nothing for me. If you can't do nothing for me, I can't do nothing for you. That's not us. You know what Christ said? You're guilty. I know it. You can't do anything for me, but I can do everything for you. I'm going to keep the law, and I'm going to give you my righteousness. And everything you can't do for me will remind you of what you're going to do for me. Somebody said, you work like it depends on your salvation. No, I work because I'm saved. I work because, man, this salvation's good. I got mercy, and I got grace, and I got love. I absolutely didn't deserve it. I'm going to work like that. I want that. I'm thankful for that. I'm not trying to keep my salvation. I'm trying to let people know what I got. What a deal. When I was guilty, when I was at my worst, God died for me. So I'd encourage you, when you find somebody in a spiritual mess, stay low. Stay meek. Stay lowly. Help them up and walk with them and cheer for them. And hopefully, praise God, somebody will do the same for you. As y'all stand, as they come get a song of invitation. Just a 10-point message.